Good morning and welcome to our service this morning at Grace Fellowship of Georgetown. We're here live streaming our services because of the coronavirus threats, and per the request of the president, we're not holding our regular church services, as many know, probably everybody knows. Well, we're delighted to come to you this morning in this fashion. I'm here with Pastor Nancy Smith and Pastor Aaron Dunteman. I've asked him to join me this morning in this roundtable discussion. We're not going to be teaching on healing today. I know many are doing that, and so there's many people you can tune into to watch broadcasts about healing. I want to talk about the implications of the season we're in. I believe this is a season that God's got our back. He's got us covered. And what are the prophetic implications of us going into this end-time revival and the glory of God we've spoken about? And so I know each of those are loaded. Pastor Nancy says she's loaded for bear. I know many have much to speak about. And so we don't know how long we're going to go this morning, but Buckley and I believe we've got more than one word for you today. Before we start, I want to remind you that not coming to church is not an excuse not to keep giving. I don't say this to go after your money, but we discover there's many spiritual principles tied to our giving. The Bible says for the tither, he would open the heavens, the windows of heaven on our behalf, and he'd rebuke the devourer. This is a season I would not want to be tithing. I would not want to not be tithing because of the protection it provides for us by the power of God. So we put on the board over here some of the ways you can still give. We've got our website. If you want to know overall, you can go to our website at gracegeorgetown.net. It's going to talk to you about giving through PayPal. You can give through text to give. The number is shown there. You can mail it in, or you can call the church, and Pastor Rebecca can take your credit card information. So any of those ways are available for you to continue your tithes. As well, over on the other side of the board, we've got ways to watch this. Now, I understand you're already seeing it now, but perhaps there's people you want to call and say, tune into this, or maybe you want to watch it later. So we've got our website again. It has a tab called Connect to Us. Touch on that tab, and it'll tell you all the ways you can view our programming, which includes Facebook Live, our own Roku channel, our own phone app, and then there's a website shown that you can watch right now directly through live stream. And then later, once it's uploaded, you can watch this entire program on YouTube. And so let's get started. We had to rebuke the devil right there for a minute off of our sound system. But we win.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So if it didn't come through with the volume, we've already put on the board ways you can still send in your offerings. It's important because the tither has a right to have the devourer rebuke from their life, which includes protection from coronavirus. Amen. And so as well as ways to watch the program on the other side of the board, I understand the time we're in. I understand what the government's doing. This could be a major impact to the nation if allowed to spread unchecked. As well, it's an election year, and it's important our elected officials protect their backs from any air of accusation. So I understand it. But know, as Christians, we're protected from this. Amen? As Christians who know their rights. I had a word last Sunday morning during praise and worship that God said he was going to protect the people of revival, protect the people that know the word, that are not afraid of it, that refuse the fear from this virus. In fact, I believe there's a protection on us right now from all the different forms of physical attack. And after I said that, this last week, I went home and listened to some different prophetic videos, and Lance Wallnau said the very same thing. And then last night, I was watching more videos. I watched one by Hank Kuhneman, and he made the statement that God's mercy will be our quarantine, that because of the mercy of God, there's a grace hand of protection upon us, that we don't have to worry about this attacking us. Amen? And so, praise God, we don't have to fear. The number one attribute of this attack is to get people into fear. And what a great time to know you have a covenant with God and His protection is on our lives. Amen. It says in Psalm 91, no plague shall come near our dwelling place. Amen. This doesn't belong to the saints. Now, many people are saying, hey, this is neat. I can sit home in my pajamas and watch the TV program and enjoy from the comfort of my home and drink my coffee. We can drink coffee here, but from the comfort of my home and my recliner. And you might think, you know, I just think I'll just do this from now on. Well, understand, when you come to a church gathering that we're commanded to come to, there's a corporate anointing that develops. The presence of God comes on His corporate body, His covenant body, at a level you don't normally access at home. But I believe God gave me a word on this yesterday, that those that will tune in during this time, because we're in divine order, we're following the leadership of the nation, as we will stay home during this season alone, there'll be a special corporate anointing come on you watching today. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak the presence of God come on your life. Just the peace, the love, even the joy of the Lord, and I bind fear in every form. We're free from fear. And I thank you during this season, Lord God, we experience as we tune in the same corporate anointing that we would have if we came to church. In Jesus' name. And let me say this. I believe once the season is over and the quarantine is lifted, the rights to have the corporate anointing are, what's the word I want? They cease as well. In other words, if you want the corporate anointing once this is over, you need to come to church. Amen. This is not an excuse to start having a home church and not come to the fellowshipping of the saints, the gathering of us together. Now, God has given His end time church visions of His glory coming to the earth. In Isaiah chapter 60, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 60. I want to read that. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Here we see a prophetic promise of God, a declaration that the glory of God's coming to the earth. But it's coming during a time of great darkness, of great threat to the world. This could be considered a precursor to that. I don't believe the world is in threat of extinction right now, but this is a threat to the world. And it may be a dry run for some of the things that are yet to come. But I believe at the same time that we're seeing this threat arise, God's glory is increasing. God's got a revival He's going to bring forth in these end times that our sons and daughters should come from far. This is a time of, accelerated and increased harvest capacity. We don't want to miss out on this opportunity. It's not a time to fear, not a time to lay back and be afraid. In fact, I believe God's given us a season to draw close to Him easier than ever before. For really this entire year, I've noticed that God's opened the window to us that it's easy to access His presence. I'll be driving down the road in the car and just say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I worship you. Glory be to God. And the presence of God will fill my car. Well, that's increased even now during this quarantine time. While the world is walking in fear, the saints that refuse fear can draw close to God. Amen. Use this opportunity not to catch up on all your, you know, binge television watching, but to use this to binge seek God and watch what He does in this time of separation. Amen. Now, we've had in here many, many visions of God's glory coming. I had the first one I had has been, my goodness, almost 30 years ago, where I saw a group of intercessors praying. And right now, intercession is key to our victory over this attack. And I'll let them speak in just a minute. They're both sitting here like, yeah. I saw a group of intercessors praying. They were in a semicircle. And then Jesus came out on a red and white horse out of a little building and inspected his troops. I knew that his intercessors were his troops. As he rode to each one, he would look down on them and nod approval. You've passed the test. And as he inspected each one, all of a sudden I was drawn away a mile, 1,000 miles, I don't know how far away, from this prayer group. And I noticed they were on this pedestal. And it looked like a water tower with the top half cut off. And as I looked at it, there were the intercessors on top with Jesus. All of a sudden, the sides from the bottom of the water tower folded up, and it became an actual water tower. As soon as the top sides touched, it came back down, and where the intercessors had been standing, inside was a city shining with the clear glory of God, a glorious city. And I knew that God was telling me that he's going to raise up intercessors in these last days that are going to bring forth, birth forth, cities of glory. It's interesting to me that here in Georgetown, Kentucky, they have built those exact same water towers in this city, the same ones I saw 30 years ago. One's directly out front of the front doors of my church, and every time I see it, I know Georgetown, Kentucky will be a city of glory. But I believe God's raising up intercessors all over, and where they will pray and seek God and press in, he's going to raise up cities, habitations of his end-time glory. Amen. But it's not going to go without darkness trying to threaten us, without darkness trying to impose upon us. And this is one of those times. There are those who would use this opportunity to spread fear, to spread lies, to use it for political gain, even financial gain. But God's got a plan. He's going to use this to turn it for his glory. Amen? And so what an exciting time to be alive. Now, I'm going to share one more vision that we had here before I turn this over to these two. But it's been a few years back now. We were at an all-night prayer on Friday night, and my wife had come, and she had a vision. Now, I've not known her to have a whole lot of visions in her life, but this was a powerful vision. She was looking down and saw a map of the United States. And all of a sudden, she saw a dark canopy coming down on America, totally pitch black, totally darkness, coming down and form-fitting to the map of America. And as she looked closer, she saw there was kind of a ridge around the nation. And as she was drawn closer, she saw the darkness could not totally touch down. It was held just off the ground. She noticed it was being held by intercessors all the way around America. The darkness could not touch America all the way. Amen? And I'm telling you, intercessors are keeping this virus from touching America as well. Many of the prophets speaking today are talking about that very thing, that God's mercy is delivering America from the major effects of this attack that other nations may experience. It's good to be an American, but it's even better to be in the house of God and in God's plan for your life. Amen. You have a right to covenant protection. Now, Pastor Nancy, I remember you had a subsequent vision to what Patty had seen. Why don't you tell the people what you saw at that same time and anything else God gives you?
Sure. I remember seeing, as Patty spoke about that vision, I remember seeing the same mental picture of it form in my mind, and I could see the dark canopy. But then what I saw was a little bit of a lifting up of that dark cap canopy, and what I saw underneath it was a pure white canopy, and it was being held up by the intercessors. And the Lord was saying that this was a canopy of intercession, and it was this canopy of intercession that was preventing the full touch of the gross darkness canopy, and that it was key that they were facing outward and they were speaking and they were proclaiming as they prayed, and that the Lord was going to use the intercessors to be a protective force as we prayed and watched over the church. And as we prayed, those things that the Lord was telling us were to come, and that this was going to be almost like a hidden secret weapon that was prevailing and active in the church, and that it was going to be the thing that would lead to the reversal of those things that would try to come upon the church. It was actually preventing the landing of that covenant. And also, one of the things that I think it was last week or the week before, I'm not exactly sure which week it was, during worship, I had a vision. And what I saw was this dark cloud, again, coming. It was like a grayish dark mist. It didn't look pure black, but there was like a grayish mist. And the leading edge of it initially was round, but then as I watched, I saw that change into the profile of a man. You could see where the eyes, the nose, and the mouth would be. And I began to see words coming out of the mouth of this cloud. And it was a proclamation. And what it was blowing out droplets of fear, blowing out droplets that spread through the air. And it was, and the Lord said that it was carrying this virus called fear. That fear is actually a virus. That we're looking at the one that we have a natural name for. But what was behind it and what was even more dangerous and unknown and unseen was the fear that was being spread. It was being carried throughout in the atmosphere. And fear, it's actually been medically proven that fear is one of the causes of most medical visits to the doctors. It actually weakens the body. But what the Lord was telling me was that as we began to proclaim health and healing and virtue and power, that no plague, as the word says in Psalm 91, would come near our dwellings. As it was spread by fear and weakens the body, our faith is contagious. There's the fear of the contagion of the virus, but our faith is actually contagious as well. So as it's spread by fear, it will be stopped by faith. And that proclamation of our faith is what is going to be really, really key in this time. We are being fed the expectation of devastation. Expectation of devastation. What we think about, what we dwell upon, that is what we tend to put our faith in because we're focusing on that rather than the answer. And the Lord tells us that fear in Romans 14 is actually sin, verse 23. So we don't want to get into sin. We want to make sure that we're doing what we need to do and that we realize that there's a plan behind this. You know, there has been attack after attack after attack come against the church. And when one fails, the enemy tries to find another way around it. And this one, being so hidden and unseen, is insidious because we don't realize that it's not the germs that is the greater threat. It's the fear that's being spread that tries to rob us of our faith.
Amen. I believe that, Pastor Aaron.
Yeah, you know, Pastor Nancy, as you were speaking, the Lord several years ago had given me a verse in Isaiah that I think is really important to this time, and last night brought it back to mind as Isaiah 24 and verse 17. And again, this was years ago when I was reading through Isaiah, and this verse really stood out. I'll start in verse 17 and read part of 18. It says, "Fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth." And then verse 18, "And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare." And I stopped right there, and the Lord said, "So where is the safe place?" And the answer came, standing still. Because you see there that fear in the pit and the snare are upon you. And it says, "And he who flees from the noise of the fear." What's the harm in noise and fear? There's no harm inherently in that noise and fear, right? The real harm came, it says, "He who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit." That's real harm. And then it says, "He who comes up out of the pit shall be caught in a snare." That's real harm. And so again, the safe place for us is standing in faith. We're standing still, not responding. It says the noise of the fear. And that's a lot of what you see right now is it's not necessarily, there are real issues out there, right? I don't want to detract from that and say that there's not real issues, but there's this noise of fear. And this verse is talking about people who respond to that rather than responding in faith and standing. You know, again, the Lord said, the safe place is standing still. It was just noise. It was the people who began to respond to that And then ran. Those were the ones who fell into the pit. And then it says the ones who came up out of the pit fell into the snare. And by the way, I'm of the opinion that I don't think the fullness of this verse we've even seen yet, right? Because there's things coming as we experience more of these types of issues in the future. There's things coming that we're going to see responses of governmental systems that go farther and farther and farther, right? You know, this is just the first time that really as a world, I think in our generation, we're experiencing this. But again, the key there is the safe place is standing, not responding to that noise, but standing in faith.
You know, we're believing for this great harvest, revival, and I believe I have found there are two things that drive people to the Lord, primarily. One is fear. In other words, things are collapsing around them. They have no hope. The doctors can't help them, or the bankers can't help them, or the psychiatrists can't help them. They discover that there's some people that have some peace, and they know that Jesus can help them. So some people, because things are collapsing, come to church, come to the Lord. Other people, and I believe this is the higher level, come to God because you discover somebody carrying a supernatural peace, a supernatural joy. That when things are collapsing around, they're not moved by it. So I believe the absence of fear becomes a harvest magnet to many people. And God's raising up people right now that refuse to fear. In Matthew chapter 24, the disciples have asked Jesus to tell them, what are the signs of the end times? I believe we're there now. Anybody have a doubt we're in the end times? But he says in Matthew 24, verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. What's another term for be not troubled? Don't be afraid. Refuse fear. So he says, when you see these end time signs, refuse fear. Cast it down. He goes on and he says, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and... especially of toilet paper. I didn't see that one. There were two things in my life I did not see coming. I didn't see that water would be for sale at $1 a bottle, and I didn't foresee a day there'd be a shortage of toilet paper. Totally wasn't on my list. But it says there'll be famines, and it says, and pestilences. That word means plagues. Now, that word isn't in the original text in Matthew, but it's in Luke, plagues. And so we're experiencing this is a type of a plague. It's having a devastating effect on some nations, but it's not going to here, right? And so I find it interesting, just myself, the two main states this has hit are California and New York. Two of the most liberal states in the nation have been hit. Won't go there any further right now. Anyway, pestilences, plagues, earthquakes in diverse places. Yet we're told by Jesus, don't fear. Again, another vision I had some time back was I was here in prayer on a Sunday afternoon, walking back and forth across the sanctuary, and my eyes opened up. Well, actually, they were closed, but they were like they're open up, and I started watching a movie. And I saw a river going through the side of our sanctuary, and it was about the size of the Kentucky River. And as I'm watching the river, all of a sudden came flying up the river was this speedboat at full speed. It was like the big ocean-going speedboats, the cigarette boats they run. And it was packed full of revivalists. I mean, having a party. There were coolers all over the boat packed full of non-alcoholic beverages. They're high-fiving, they're singing, they're shouting. They're having the best time of their life. But as my view is drawn back behind the boat, 50 to 100 yards, the entire earth was opening up underneath the river. Everything along the banks of the river were caving in. It was collapsing. The crack, the chasm was following the boat at the same speed it was running, but it couldn't catch the boat. Foam was flying up 100 feet in the air, and it was total devastation. And the Lord said, collapses are coming. Major shifts are coming, but it won't touch my revivalist people who are in faith. This is a time to be excited, not to be in fear. Do I want to see collapse? No. Do I want to see people going through hardship? Absolutely not. But if things do happen, I'm going to hold to Jesus and to the Word of God and not be moved. Amen. I advise that you do the same thing. I try and decide whether to go to this. You got something else you want to share right away?
Yeah, as you were saying that, I was again, kind of visualizing that in my mind's eye. And what I heard the Lord saying is, it's joy that holds you in the boat.
Amen.
And, you know, one of the things that this is all about is trying to stop the revival. There have been prophecies that have come forth over the last couple of months, maybe, that there is an absolutely line of demarcation of us moving into a new season, that there is a pulling together of things that have been prophesied over the years, over the centuries, things that started that were prophesied by the prophets of old, things that have been prophesied by generations that have gone before us. And there's a convergence now of all of these things. And while we may not see it, in the spirit, there is definitely an awareness of that going on. And I feel like the Lord was telling me that this attack has been an attempt of the enemy to stop the momentum that he saw building. Because there was a momentum building, and there still is. We're going to continue to proclaim that, because the enemy can't stop us if we stay in faith.
That's right.
As long as we stay in faith, the Lord is the one who is going to prevail. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of the angel armies.
Yes.
If you could see around us right now, you would see that there are angels in this sanctuary. There are angels around you where you are today. And the Lord is the commander of that army of hosts.
You know, this just dropped in me. Not mean to interrupt.
But,
I just saw this as a dry run for the saints to get on board with faith and refuse fear. That this is a practice run for things that potentially are going to come later, that you learn how to react properly and don't
Amen.
Respond with the world, and know how to ignore the news media. Not be ignorant, but not fall prey to their fear tactics and separation mentalities. So here's our test run. Now we're learning how to do this, right?
You know, in China or places where there have been revivals that had to be kept underground, people managed to stay in contact because they were led by the Holy Spirit. They were directed where to meet, how to meet, what they should do, how they should pray. And the power of God was not stopped. It may have been a little bit underground, but it carried forward nonetheless. The healings occurred. The gifts of the Spirit were in evidence. What God intended to do was not stopped, and it can't be stopped. As long as we continue to license it, as we continue to speak it, as we continue to agree mm-hmm. with the Word of God. You know, in the middle of the storm, this is the time when we can walk in absolute peace and know that it is a supernatural peace.
Yes.
The peace which passes all understanding keeps our hearts and our minds mm-hmm. through Christ Jesus. When the whole world is racing for supplies and fighting for it and being afraid, we can walk in peace, and mm-hmm. that peace is going to be contagious.
Yes.
That love that we display is going to be contagious. People are going to see it, and they're going to not understand how we can be in such peace. And the opportunity for evangelism that brings forward mm-hmm. is an amazing opportunity. So while this seems like a threat against us, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to see the opportunities in it. And he was telling me that this is an attempt to isolate the body of Christ
mm-hmm.
because there has been a move of late of people taking their place in the body, you know, where one can chase a thousand, two can chase 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
The anointing that comes forth from the corporate gathering, the ability to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, the ability to lay hands on the dead and watch them live,
mm-hmm.
the ability to prosper, the ability to edify, to exhort and comfort each other as we come together is so amazing that the enemy is scared of the church. And he's
yes.
trying to stop us from coming together. He's trying to stop us from assembling, and he's trying to stop us mm-hmm. from manifesting as the sons and daughters of God.
That's right.
He's trying to stop us from manifesting the kingdom of God. Well, guess what? It's too late for that. We win. We are going to rise up in faith And we are going to, in the middle of the storm, begin to proclaim all that God has shown us. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really interesting that at the beginning of the year, we took time to examine what the prophets on the national stage, the international stage, have been speaking about what's going to happen.
Yes.
We were given advance warning. I went back through and looked at that, and there are a lot of things that pertain to this. Hank Kuhneman mentioned about fear that was trying to cross the line ahead of the church. It was trying to move into this new era ahead of the church, and that there are all kinds of medical advances that are going to occur in this next season.
Yes.
There is so much going on in the body of Christ right now that the enemy is running scared. You know, as revival breaks out, we're going to see gatherings of the church coming together, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. And you know those stadiums that are being emptied right now because the fear of the sports arenas and all that coming together? Guess what? Those are perfect places for the church to meet. There are going to be signs and wonders, and I can see them coming forward now. And when this happens, we've all heard about the transfer of wealth that's going to happen. The enemy is holding on to that with his fists tight, trying to stop it because he knows it's imminent. But if he can stop it or he can delay it by this fear, by causing the church to back off, he buys time.
Amen.
You know, Pastor Jack, earlier you were mentioning, this is a test run or a dry run. And I think this is really important for the body of Christ because, as we look at the promise protection, I actually want to go to Psalm 91 and read that really quickly and tie onto that. If you go to Psalm 91, and oftentimes when we're reading this, we start in verse 10, no evil shall befall you. But I actually think that that's not the complete way to read that verse. It actually doesn't start there. It starts at verse 9. It says, because you have made, that's past tense, right? Mm-hmm. Really starts at verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Because of that, and now verse 10 is answering that. Mm-hmm. It's saying past tense, you have made the Lord your refuge.
Yes.
Past tense, you have made the Lord your dwelling place when things are good. And now, because of that, verse 10 and on and comes to you. And then it says, no evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you. Again, this is answering verse 9, mm-hmm. right? It's not something that stands by itself. Now, I believe you can claim that for yourself, but again, read this in its entirety, starting at verse 9. It says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place and your refuge. And then again,
so this is a dry run.
Right.
If you haven't made the Lord your dwelling place and you're fighting fear,
yeah.
It might be a good time to do that.
Exactly. But this really points to the need for us to be preparing when things are good, right? Mm-hmm. You know, think of the parable of the 10 virgins, right? It's really, we're coming into a season where we're beginning to see things like this, that it matters what you do when times are good. Mm-hmm. And even in Psalm 91, it continues in verse 14, the same pattern happens. Verse 14 says, because he has set his love upon me. Again, that's past tense. Because he has set his love upon me, mm-hmm. I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Because I believe this is the correct way to look at this is that when things are good, when things are going well, mm-hmm. that's when we make the Lord our dwelling place. That's when we put our trust in the
yes.
Lord. And what that means is that when calamity comes, when these types of things happen, we have no need to fear at all because the Lord says, for those people who have set their trust in me, when times were good, when mm-hmm. things were fine, when people mm-hmm. didn't even know that there were weird viruses out there mutating and doing strange things,
mm-hmm.
that you don't have to worry about that. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. And I just even one of the things he was taking me back to was verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Continuing to 2. And this is the part where we say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And from the noisome pestilence, he shall cover thee with thy feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And it goes on to talk about all of the other benefits of it. But dwelling in that secret place, that's a place you live. That's not a place you go visit on occasion. That's a place where you live. Mm-hmm. And that's because you have made him your Lord. You have made him such an integral part of your day, of your thoughts, of everything that you do. That is going to be the key. That kind of a lifestyle, that kind of connection, that living, vital connection to the Lord Most High is where you're going to live, in that secret place. And when you're in the secret place, the enemy can't find you. You are there, you are hidden, you are sheltered, and your focus is so on the Lord that all of this other stuff just fades away. The joy of the Lord, that fellowship with him, being one with him, being in his arms and in his love. How could we ever allow any fear to enter in that place? We can't. That's the place of pure isolation with the Lord, pure relationship and fellowship with him. The secret place of the Most High God is where we are all invited to live. And I know that this is key in this time. This is a lifestyle. This is something that we have to purpose to do in the middle of this. The secret place of the Most High God is where we need to be. You know, Jesus, when he was in the middle of a storm, spoke to the storm and told it, be still. We can do that too. But when we live in that place with the Most High God, in that secret place, our perspective of these things that are going on around us is completely changed, because we're looking at it from a position of being seated on high in heavenly places. We're not looking at it from a point down here where we're helpless and victims. We're looking at it from a place of power. We're looking at it from a place of authority. We're looking at it from a place of being able to rule and reign, as the Lord says, as the sons and daughters of God, rising up and taking their place and causing things that we see in heaven and proclaiming them to become in this earth. We are going to be the light in the darkness. And when we do what he tells us to do, the power is going to be displayed and people are going to be drawn. They're going to find these places of city, these cities of glory, these hot spots where the power of God is being demonstrated.
Touchdown points.
Georgetown, Kentucky is one of them. I just proclaim it right now in the name of Jesus. Georgetown, Kentucky is a city of glory. The anointing of God resides here, is contagious here, and can become and picked up and carried away. And we can release it to people as they come. Sickness and disease has no place amongst us, for the glory of God is in residence here.
Yes.
Sickness and disease germs die on contact when they come even into the proximity of the anointing in Jesus' name. So if you need that healing anointing, you can touch place with this ministry and we will release it to you, and you have no need to fear.
Amen. You sparked something in me when you mentioned about how it's time to seek God when things are good, you and Aaron both, versus wait till things are bad. And we've taught that in here for years, not just seeking God, but learning his promises. You know, I teach, learn to claim your healing with a headache versus wait until you have cancer. Well, I wait till things are so bad that you don't have time to build your faith to a high enough level to keep living. Start fighting with little things now. Use your faith on the, you know, infected toenail. Use your faith on the headache or whatever. So you've built your faith to a level when something major is threatening. Your faith is already there. I had a word last May come to me that those that are going into the glory, because that's what I'm after. I'm after the glory of God. That's my number one focus in life, the glory. Those that go into the glory, God said, must become experts at functioning and living in the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
That involves not just learning to spend time with God, but learning how the kingdom functions. When Jesus came to earth, he taught the people how to access heaven, how to function as spiritual laws or principles. And he says, if you learn how the kingdom operates, you can command a mountain to be thrown out of your way. And they would demonstrate the kingdom principles by healing the sick and casting out devils, raising the dead. And we're called as believers to learn how to do that ourselves, how to live in the lifestyle of faith. And if you do it when things are good, then when things are tough, you have no fear. I have no fear right now at all. I didn't go buy a bunch of sanitizer or any other supplies. God has already got me prepared. He's got me ready with the Word of God that's in my mouth and in my heart. And as he has, I believe, pretty much everybody in this church, we don't have to fear. And so don't wait. Let this be a wake-up call, because worse things could be coming down the road. In fact, personally, I believe they are. I don't want to prophesy them, but I believe the enemy would really try to unload everything he can on America right now and on the people of the world. So learn how to access God's protection and blessing and increase at this time that things are going good, because this is a good time whether you know it or not. And it's easier to access God's presence than ever before. Now, one of you is chomping at a bit right now. I can see you both looking at me.
One of the things that's also happening, he knows us too well, right? there has been an increased awareness of the voices of the prophets that have been speaking, and there has also been an increased alignment of what is being spoken. You know, it used to be you would hear this one would have this flavor, and this one would have that flavor, and this one would have that flavor. But as we looked at the beginning of the year, and if you want to go back on our website, we had a couple Sunday services where we talked about the prophetic words for 2020. Mm-hmm. And it was on It's Supernatural. We played those broadcasts, and we spoke a little bit about them before and after, about some of the different things. And it was amazing to me to find how many things were common themes that they were speaking about. And they might be speaking about the same thing, but they might be speaking from a United States view, and then one might be speaking from a global view. And I remember them talking about Russia, China, Iran, and South Korea that were rising up. Well, guess what? Russia, Iran, and China are involved in this right now. I'm not sure about South Korea.
Korea as well.
Okay, so yeah. I hadn't checked that point out. But they were brought forward in January that they were going to be involved as coming against the church and against the United States, that they should not be trusted. I hate to say that.
South Korea or North Korea?
It was North Korea.
North Korea.
North Korea, okay. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for catching that. But it's so important that we have those words. And why do we have them? Why do we need to know? Do we need to hear them and just say, oh, wow, that was pretty cool. Look, they all got the same thing without even talking to each other. Or is there something we're supposed to be doing with them?
Yeah.
And Timothy talks about war with the prophecies. You know, when we have promises given to us in them, a lot covered the election, which is on everybody's mind about, you know, how it's going to turn out. And a lot of times the church will say, well, tell us it's going to be okay. Tell us it's going to be won. But the issue with that is a lot of times it's going to be won because we are required to pray and we are required to prophesy and we are required to proclaim. And I feel like the instruction that was given at the beginning of this year was so much more in depth, so much more accurate, so much more detailed than what we normally hear. We normally hear kind of like a phrase or a general topic. We heard specific after specific after specific. I still have my notes from the analysis I did of those hours. And it was like there was 37 specifics. There were many, many common themes. And I've never seen that before. Well, I looked at them again yesterday in preparing for this, and I saw in there things that were brought forward at the beginning of the year that pertain to now. Mm-hmm. And so it's our job as the church. Now, first, we check those things. We make sure they line up with the word. We make sure that the prophet that's bringing it forward is one who has a proven ministry. They're, someone who is in line with the word, and what they say lines up with the word of God and with the way of God, with the character of God. But when we see those things, when we have somebody who's been pretty much vetted or identified as someone who has a proven ministry and hears the voice of the Lord, has the heart of God, then we need to take those things that they say and as a church begin to speak them, begin to proclaim that agreement, begin to proclaim that those medical advances that Tracy Cook saw coming forward are going to come forth speedily, that there's going to be an acceleration of the glory of God, that there's going to be an advance of the church, and that these lies and these things that have been launched against us will be called down. It's our job to do that. As we do that, as we agree with each other in prayer, as we proclaim and we speak that word of the Lord back to the Lord, we are licensing that activity in the earth. And the angels of God hearken to the word to perform it for us. They're waiting for us to give them something to work with. Absolutely. They're right here, right now. And if we say, peace be still, if we say, healing is yours in the name of Jesus, if we say that no weapon formed against you will prosper in Jesus' name, for anybody that's in this body, for anybody that's in this city of glory, we have just licensed angelic activity to go forward.
Amen.
As long as we sit on our hands and watch the prophecies coming forward and don't pick them up and do anything with them, we're leaving power sit untapped. This is going to be a critical season for us to watch. The Lord gave us those words ahead of time, and we're responsible for what we do with them. Go ahead.
You just mentioned Tracy Cook. Did you see the show where he was on with Emma Stark? I watched it on YouTube yesterday. It was a Sid Roth program with Tracy Cook and Emma Stark, both well-known prophets of God. And they played a clip from Tracy Cook from January 3rd. Now, how many had heard of coronavirus January 3rd or that would be a threat? Pretty much unheard of. And they played this video clip from another program he was on, Sid Roth program. January 3rd, 2020, Tracy Cook said, all the world's going to be shaken for 4 months. He said he saw a virus being created in a Chinese lab. And he said it will shake the world for 4 months, but on Passover, April 15th and 16th, it would come up against the blood of Christ and start to diminish from that point on. This thing's about to pass if we believe him, and he's very accurate. Cajun prophet, very, very accurate. He said an antidote is coming, and God's bringing judgment on China. Interesting to see what comes out of that as well. That Chinese and political, American political plots are going to be uncovered that are connected to it. And in fact, he threw this in. It was scheduled for 2028, but was released early as far as God's timing program. And so the prophets are giving us forewarning. And the word's given us forewarning. Now it's time for us to man up and deal with these things. Amen. Aaron, what you got?
Yeah, so I was thinking this morning about China, you know, the note judgment on China, and there's a couple things, two things that I think are very important there. One is to separate the country of China from the CCP or the Chinese Communist Party. Because again, I think it's very important to be specific and realize that these issues, these evil is not China or the Chinese people. It is the Chinese Communist Party. And I think it's, again, very important to separate those two. I mean, you hear about, you know, issues where Asians and people from China are dealing with retribution just because of their nationality. It's not good. That's not right. Mm-hmm. Right. We have to recognize that this is the Chinese Communist Party as a specific governmental system that is the origin of this, not the country, not the people. Right. I mean, I was there a year ago and there were two things.
Were you in Wuhan?
No. And there were two things that really sat with me while I was there. One was how great, I had to sense the entire time I was there, how great God's love were for the Chinese people, just continually. As I saw them from city to city, was impressed with how great his love is for the people. But then the second impression that I had the entire time was how oppressive the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, is over the people. And so, again, I think it's important, you know, looking at them from the other side of the world can be easy to lump it all together. But I think it's important to separate the two and recognize that this is a governmental system, not a group of people that is behind a lot of this. But then the second thing that I believe is important, and it comes back to prayer and how we pray, is to be specific and address these things by name. You know, and I mean that as a general statement, but also as we pray about China and what's going on right there. You know, there was a time in the past where I was dealing with some oppression of a demonic spirit, and I addressed it generically, and nothing changed. And I heard this voice inside that said, ask what its name is. I thought, that's strange. And so I did, and I asked what its name was, and instantly the answer came back, despair. And so then I commanded it to go again, but this time addressed it by name, and instantly it was gone. And so again, I think that's very important as we're in these seasons where we begin to address things, to ask the Holy Spirit for clarity on what's really going on, so that when we pray, we're praying specifically against spirits or things, not just kind of generically or buffeting the air, if you will, but praying specifically as we're given clarity by the Holy Spirit on what's going on.
You know, it's a time of every prophet, the word declares it regarding, you know, connecting to the glory, that there'll be a time of shaking before the glory comes forth. And this is a shaking time. And what the shaking does is it dislodges people's holds from what they normally trusted in. So if you're trusting in the healthcare system, you're trusting in the economy, you're trusting in Walmart to have your supplies, you're being shaken. But those that put their trust in God shall never be shaken. You're standing on an immovable rock, a foundation that cannot be uplodged or dislodged. You can't be dislodged from. So you have nothing to fear. I'm telling you, when things collapse around, stay on the motorboat going full speed up the river. God's got our back. You know, in the Word, you see that all through Scriptures. When God was about to destroy the earth with a flood, He protected Noah and his family. Right? When Israel's back was up against the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was about to destroy them, which was Egypt is a type of the world, God parted the Red Sea. He always protects His people. They couldn't throw Jesus off of the cliff. They couldn't even kill the Apostle John. Know that you have a covenant with God and that everything is going to be okay. Now, you'd mentioned something also a while ago, that God's bringing His presence to God like never before. And 2 weeks ago, it's been 2 weeks ago, week and a half, well, March 6th, that's 2 weeks, we had our first ministry conference of the year. We called it the Grace Advance, a week of teaching and ministry. And the last night, Apostle Callahan was scheduled to teach. So we've been worshiping God all week. We've been learning the Word in the mornings, the pastors have, and sharing every night. And during praise and worship, we're on the very last song. Things are about to wind down. And I saw another vision. God's given me a lot of visions, a lot of dreams. He speaks to me like that a lot of times. Maybe it's because I'm too hard-headed. No, I bind it up. You said I'm too hard-headed to hear, but that's not true. But I get a lot of visions and dreams. And I saw, all of a sudden, it's like I'm watching. My eyes are closed, but I'm watching the entire sanctuary. I can see everybody in the sanctuary. And I saw another dimension, like a clear, enveloping presence of another dimension come down and form fit to everything in the sanctuary. It came over the people. It fit to the floor. It came upon the instruments. It was like we were saturated in a invisible liquid of the presence of God. And I knew what God was saying is that He had brought the dimension of the third heaven, the kingdom of heaven, into our congregation. But I knew it wasn't just there, and it wasn't just for now. That God was having a period of marrying heaven to earth. Now, as far as America is concerned, we weren't even thinking coronavirus at the time, March 6th. This is a relatively new thing. I mean, everybody's getting fired up for March Madness. Amen. Well, there's been March Madness. Try to go to Kroger or Walmart. I even went to Lowe's the other day to get bleach to put in a swimming pool. They were sold out of bleach, and it wasn't for pools.
All gone.
And so I believe God's bringing right now in this season the kingdom of heaven down upon us in a special, tangible, manifest way. And what I could see is in that service, I could see people were positioned in two kingdoms at one time. It's like they had one foot in the natural where they're functioning, but another foot in the kingdom of heaven where they're hearing and receiving. And that's what God's made available for us right now. We can live in both realms. Well, then I heard, I believe it was Hank Kuhneman, prophesy the same thing. And then I felt led. This will take me a few minutes to talk about. But before President Trump was elected in 2016, early in the year, Lance Wall and I got a word from God. And it was out of Isaiah chapter 45. No, President Trump is our 45th U.S. president. And he got a word out of Isaiah chapter 45. Let me read the first verse. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to have subdued nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Now, King Cyrus was a Persian king that Isaiah prophesied by name 150 years before he ever came on the scene. That's an amazing prophecy. He said, King Cyrus will be raised up by God to loose the loose nations. I'm going to open doors for him that will not be shut. And God gave the word to Lance Wall now, another prophet, another teacher, that Donald Trump would be elected 45th president of the United States, and he would be a type of King Cyrus. Well, we've seen that come to pass. I don't believe American Christians have ever had a better friend than President Trump, if you really understand what God's doing. He's done more to elevate the church and release the people of God to follow God than any president in the past. Amen. Far more than the previous administration. And so he surrounded himself with Holy Ghost Christian counsel, people praying for him. Amen. And so I believe he's ordained by God. And I'm going somewhere with this in Isaiah 45. I want to read some more verses out of it. But it says, I will open before him the two leaf gates. Now, this may be stretching the word somewhat, and I'm just hoping this is not a prophetic word. But I hope that means two terms. Two gates, two terms. That's the way I'm interpreting it. Amen. I do believe he is going to be reelected, and we'll see even more take place the second term than we did the first. Amen. As I read before this, I'm going to read through some of this Isaiah 45, verse 2. I will go before him and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I believe those are demonic gates. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his end time church. And I believe God's using Donald Trump to break for some of the gates, some of the bars. He's releasing people. You know, it's been a couple years ago now that Israel authorized the minting of a new coin. And it's a coin with King Cyrus, who released the Jews out of captivity to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. They minted a coin with Cyrus's picture and Donald Trump's on the same coin. They referred to him as Cyrus Trump, a word that God gave Lance Wall now back almost a year before he was elected. Amen? So he is a type of King Cyrus, and God's making the crooked places straight before him. Verse 3, I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Oh, glory to God. He's releasing us from the captivity of not just economic bondage that other nations have put us under, but even darkness in this nation. And hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, and the God of Israel. Now look at verse 4. For Jacob my servant's sake, that's representing the church of the people of God, right? For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I've even called thee my name. Oh, glory to God. God named Cyrus, and he named Trump. I believe Trump is God's trump card of this season in the world. He says, I have surnamed thee, though thou was not known my name. Some will say, well, I don't believe Donald Trump saved. I don't believe when he was originally running, he was. He didn't know the name of God, but I believe he does now. Amen. And God's leading him. Now, I want to go down to verse number 8. Remember, well, look at verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. God is involved in the background of everything taking place. Now, I don't believe he's creating evil, but he's permitting it. Amen? And actually, probably intercessors are creating, and God's honoring what we honor. But I mentioned about heaven coming down to earth, another dimension. I saw it, and I believe it's still here right now. You can tap into it at home right now. It says in verse 8, drop down, ye heavens. This is Isaiah 45, so it's for right now. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the light, let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. I believe God dropping down the heavens is what I saw March 6th coming down. And it's for this time. When the world's running crazy, when they're scared and fear, they're hoarding, they're in panic, they're social distancing. And I'm not coming against social distancing, but I'm talking about they're actually in fear versus just honoring a word. They're in terror, you might come near them. That at this time this is taking place, God has already in foresight brought down heaven to earth for us to tap into. What an exciting time to be a Christian. Amen? Yeah.
The same thing he's talking about with the two realms. For this, I've had several times where over the last, and I'm trying to think it might be over the last year and a half or maybe even as much as 2 years, I've had experiences where I'm walking, and in one situation I was walking down a hallway, and all of a sudden I saw like the image of what I'm looking at, the hallway in front of me, it turned into two images and they split apart. And there was a higher one and then there was the lower one and they were identical. But I realized that I was in the higher part of it. And from that place, I could touch things. I could talk to people. I could interact. I could do anything that I needed to do, just as if nothing had changed, except that I was aware that I had been lifted up and I was operating from the higher realm. I was operating from that heavenly realm, that mm-hmm. spiritual realm.
Yes.
And what the Lord was trying to get me to understand is that I needed to have an awareness of that more often, actually all the time, that was the reality of what really is happening, whether we're aware of it or not, mm-hmm. and that we have the ability to operate out of that spiritual realm. We can walk in the Spirit. We can act in the Spirit. We have spiritual weapons that are mighty, not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that I have had that experience several times over the last, I'm going to say probably close to 2 years. And one time I was right up here in front and I was praying for somebody. And I know it sounds crazy, but that's all right. Y'all that know me, you know, I'm not going to worry about that. I felt like I was physically lifted up. And I tried to walk back to my seat, and I felt like every step I took another step, and I almost got concerned, was I going to make it back to my seat, or was I going to be out of here? Well, that shouldn't be something to be concerned about. That'd be a good thing. But it was such an unusual awareness.
It'd be good for you. We might miss you.
That's nice to hear.
Your dogs, right? They might
my dogs would have said, uh-oh, where'd she go? But that's happened a number of times over the last 2 years. And I feel like the Lord's wanting us to get more of an awareness of that's the place where we need to move from, because that's our highest seat of authority. It's like we're in that kingdom, and we've all heard about diplomats and how they have diplomatic immunity. Mm-hmm. And when we operate out of the kingdom of God,
yes.
The kingdoms of this world have no legal right to hold us, to charge us, to do anything. We have the right to speak on behalf of the one that has sent us. and we are subject to the laws of that kingdom. And everywhere we step our foot becomes the kingdom of that which we have been sent to represent. So if we understand that, and if we understand the covenant, and that when we are in covenant with God, everything that God has belongs to us. And the beauty of this covenant is it was a covenant that was ratified between God and the blood of Jesus. So we can't mess it up. It's not dependent on us. That covenant will stand. And as long as we are aware of that covenant, we can take advantage of what it actually contains. And there's so much within it. I think we have lost the understanding of what covenant is. And Pastor Jack has done a good job of teaching on that. And if you'd like to, we do have all the teachings on our website that have gone past. If you aren't from this church, if you're catching this, please, we invite you to go back and look on the website, pick up some of those teachings and learn about them and get the understanding of it, because it is such a rich thing that we have been given, that as long as we keep that covenant, there is so much that is there for us that belongs to us that we need in this time.
I didn't pay her for that commercial either, but I appreciate it. Pastor Aaron?
So back in Isaiah 45, verse 5, I thought was interesting because of something the Lord had put on my heart yesterday. It says, I am the Lord. You know, all of this talking about, you know, King Cyrus, you know, comes up to verse 5, and it ultimately God says, I am the Lord, and there is no other, there is no God besides me. I mean, that is the purpose of it all. God was doing all of this for his glory, mm-hmm. that he would be exalted. And I think that's very important to keep in mind, because it was years ago that the Lord impressed something on me that, and we see this the spirit of the age right now that is pushing people that, again, I'll start with a different comment. I don't believe there's any such thing as a true atheist. I really don't. I think there are simply people who have replaced what God is. And it was years ago that the Lord impressed on me that government is being replaced as a provider, healthcare is a healer, and science is truth. Yep. And you see this push right now that, again, government is your provider, healthcare is your healer, and science is truth. And for atheists, that is their God. Again, I don't believe there's any such thing as an atheist, a true sure, atheist, yeah. in that there's no God. They've just replaced who their God is. And you feel that push right now. Hold on, you dare question science? Put your trust in government, mm-hmm. and put your trust in healthcare. Those are God-given systems. They're valuable systems, but they are not a replacement of God. And as Christians, they are not our source, right? Again, they are valuable God-given systems that I believe God can and will work in and through when they're in the right place. But believe me, their right place is not a replacement of God. And it's important for us to keep that in the back of our mind. God is my provider. God is my healer, and God and his word is our source of truth. We will cooperate and work with natural systems, but they are in no way a replacement of Almighty God. And again, very important to remember that God is God, and he will be exalted in all this.
Amen. You know, a lot of people are going, oh no, oh no, oh my, and I'm excited. I believe we're entering the days I've prayed for 30 years. I've patiently waited for. I've confessed the glory. I've sought the glory. And here we are. And it says darkness is going to be in the earth at those times. So it's time for the church that have been believing likewise to get excited. Yes. Not pull back. Not be in fear. Why act like the world acts? We have a promise of God to win. Now look, I'm going to cease this morning's discussion at this time after I pray for everybody. We could do this all day. These guys are loaded. Every time somebody says something, three thoughts enter each of our minds. I want to say something next. But we're going to continue this format for this season, as long as these guys can make it, guy and girl. We're going to continue this season for our services, so I hope you'll continue to tune in. Amen. And I know that every time we do, God's going to be speaking to us. What an exciting time to be on God's side. Now, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I decree in this church and those listening will claim it, there are none sick, there are none in lack, there are none in fear, none oppressed, none anxious for anything, but a supernatural peace and joy touching each one here. I thank you, Father, as well. There are none in strife, unforgiveness, or rejecting you. Let us draw close to you like never before. Now, right now, if you're watching this, and maybe you tuned in by accident, or maybe you've come to listen, and you think, really, I need to be in on this program, but I don't know the Lord. I want you to consider right now giving your life to Jesus. He's a faithful Creator God. He's the only one that's faithful. Amen. So if that's you, I want you to repeat after me right now. I want you to accept Jesus. So say, Father, in Jesus' name, I confess my sin of having rejected you in the past, of having fallen short of your purposes and plans, of being a sinner. I ask you to forgive me right now. Forgive my sin and cleanse me all of my past. I choose to receive you as my Lord and Savior right now. I thank you, Lord God, you made it possible. I can be born again and be made a new creation in Christ. And I ask for that miracle to take place in my life and my heart right now. Holy Spirit, come into me and teach me the ways of truth. Let me experience that heaven touching earth right now. Let me know you and have the peace that they're talking about, the joy they're discussing. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer with me, God just did the biggest miracle in your life you'll ever know. He took out your heart of sin and put in you a heart of righteousness. Now, get into this Bible. Get into the book and read what he has to say to you. Go pray. Ask God what he wants to tell you. And tune into this program. Tune into this church. Or the ones God leads you to. Be blessed. We're believing. This is a short-term problem, and we refuse to fear. In Jesus' name, be blessed.